past 7 o'clock. Now, a senior cabinet minister has criticised bishops who he says are trying to block welfare reforms. According to reports in today's Sunday Times under the headline Bishops at War with Coalition, the Welfare Secretary Ian Duncan-Smith has accused the bishops of failing to show concern for ordinary people who pay taxes as well as those who benefit. But church leaders continue to speak out. The Archbishop of York recently criticised the effect of spending cuts to provision for the elderly. And last year, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, called David Cameron's Big Society stale. Now, it's a subject the Sunday Politics Show will be looking at this weekend. And our Dorset reporter, Tristan Pascoe, has been to meet bishops in the Diocese of Salisbury.
As every good student of history knows, in the 12th century, Henry II mused aloud, "Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?" Loyalists to the king interpreted this as a command, and the Archbishop of Canterbury was brutally murdered on the steps of the cathedral. He was canonised soon afterwards, and hundreds of churches today bear his name.
Things are a little more civilised these days. The last critical confrontation between church and state was probably the Archbishop of Canterbury, Robert Runcie, preaching forgiveness for the Argentine forces during the Falklands conflict, much to the apoplexy of the Iron Lady. Despite that, senior church leaders like the Bishop of Salisbury aren't put off from entering the political fray.
There's marvellous work with homeless people in Salisbury. The churches are deeply connected with it, and therefore that's one of the areas where I think I'm entitled to comment, because there are so many Christians doing this and involved in it.
So do senior church leaders have a moral obligation, a moral imperative to speak out against government policy?
Well, of course there's a moral imperative to speak on behalf of people who are vulnerable and perhaps not so good at articulating things for themselves. So the church will always come in on the side of those who are in greatest need.
Last year, the Bishop of Sherborne wrote to council leaders, asking them not to let the unprecedented levels of spending cuts affect the elderly and vulnerable.
Why did you want to get involved in social policy locally?
Well, locally, the church is embedded in the community. Simon Jenkins wrote a really good article in The Guardian last year saying, big society, there's lots of little societies and they're mostly under spires. And so village churches have been embedded in the community for centuries. And so when something happens, the local vicar is involved with local politicians and the bishop is involved with county ones.
The colourful New Forest MP Desmond Swain straddles both camps. He's part of David Cameron's inner circle, but is also a lay preacher.
I can turn on a political speech any time. If I'm asked to preach, I sweat for some time beforehand, and I find it much more difficult.
If church leaders can only scrutinise, not make or shape policy, what can they contribute?
I think it's important that there are different principles for taking part in politics as Christian leaders. One of them is that you bring a moral dimension. That includes housing and defence, as well as things like abortion and divorce.
They have an insight into standards and morality. I don't think they have expertise in terms of government policy.
But in the current climate, that's not going to stop the church from trying.
I think what's going on at the moment is that because there's an economic problem, because there's a government policy of cuts, and we're into a pretty austere time, there's a real concern that the most vulnerable in our community are carrying a disproportionate amount of the cost of what's happening to us as a whole community.
That was the voice of Bishop Nicholas Holtham. He is the Bishop of Salisbury. Also there was Dr. Graham Kings, the Bishop of Sherborne, and Desmond Swain, the MP for the New Forest West. And you can see more about that on the Sunday Politics Show on BBC One today from noon. And I'm delighted to say that to discuss some of the issues that were raised in Tristan's report and the piece in today's Sunday Times, I'm joined now by Dr. Graham Kings, the Bishop of Sherborne. Dr. Kings, good morning.
Good morning.
Bishop, let's start with the issue in today's Sunday Times. The headline is Bishops at War with Coalition. The bishops in the House of Lords are being roundly criticised by the Work and Pensions Secretary, Ian Duncan-Smith, because they're opposing reforms. In a bizarre sort of way, does it please you that the bishops are being noticed like that?
We don't mind when we're not noticed. We go about our business, but part of the business is commenting on what's happening in the community. Now, the interesting thing about this is Ian Duncan Smith is a deeply committed Roman Catholic. He's a strong Christian himself. But his reforms that he's trying to push through do, it seems to me, still hit the most vulnerable very hard indeed. And so I think I haven't had a chance to see the Sunday Times article, but it's been summarized for me. He seems to me to be saying that the bishops shouldn't forget those who pay tax when they speak up on behalf of those who are unemployed and those who are poor.
I mean, that's exactly what he says. You know, Ian Duncan Smith claimed the bishops were doing a disservice to families on benefits by threatening to derail his plans to impose a £26,000 cap on the total amount. And he goes on to say that you should be more understanding of ordinary people who pay taxes. Let me just come back, though, to this central point about the prophetic voice, if I can put it that way, of faith leaders. Is that part of your job?
Yes, I think so. There's a strange quote that the church should get back to the sacristy, and that will solve the problems. The church should deal with people's souls and God. But that was actually Joseph Goebbels in August 1935. We're nowhere near that today, of course. But there has always been a tradition, or just deal with souls and just deal with God. But because God is concerned with the whole of life, even becoming a fully human being in Jesus Christ, then bishops and vicars and other Christians are involved in the whole of life, mind, body, spirit, and community.
What do you think it says, Bishop, that, you know, you've achieved the ire of a government secretary? I mean, and we'll talk about this in a few moments' time, with fewer people regularly going at least to the Church of England Sunday by Sunday, as latest figures show, but we're going to talk about that. I mean, what does it say that actually bishops are even worth condemning?
Well, I'm not sure we've achieved the ire. I think we've achieved the ire because he's such a committed Christian himself. But there's bishops and there's lords. I mean, the most senior parliamentarian in protocol is the Archbishop of Canterbury. And so while that lasts, it's clear that bishops should speak out. And leaders of other faiths are really pleased that the bishops are there in the House of Lords because they can tuck into that as well. Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi, is in the House of Lords as well. So I think we should use the opportunities that we have. Too often, young people, young unemployed, and those who are very poor don't have a voice. And if people can voice that voice, I think that's very important.
Bishop, don't go away, because I can play some music and then I want to talk to you about one or two other issues.
Sure.
With me on the phone this morning is the Bishop of Sherborne, Dr. Graham King. So we're going to come back to him in a few moments' time. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on BBC Radio Solo. This is Liam Lawton. We've already been talking about the article in today's Sunday Times about bishops speaking out in the House of Lords. And you can find out more about the contribution that bishops make to public debate on the Politics Show. That's at 12 o'clock today on BBC One. The local bit is at 12:25. And a film from our very own Tristan Pascoe features both Dr. Kings and Nick Holton, who is the Bishop of Salisbury. But I want to move on to other things now, if I may, Bishop Graham, and talk about electronic media, particularly Twitter, which we all hear about. I'm not sure many of us do, but it's something that you've been getting into.
Yes, I've been encouraged to do it for some time, and I've always held off and just started in November.
So just for those of us, I have to confess, I don't really use Twitter. I'm signed up. How does it actually work?
You have 140 characters, and a character includes a letter or a space or punctuation. So it's incredibly short. It's almost as texting used to start. You follow people, and they follow you, so you get a run of conversations going. And, I mean, some people have thousands of followers. I've only got, I think, about 386 by now.
So not quite as many as Stephen Fry.
No, that's right.
Yeah. But you're working on it. So what sort of things do you say?
Well, it's mostly passing on links to good articles. So, for example, that article that we referred to before Unfortunately, it's behind a paywall, but if it's in another paper, I can shorten the link to the link on the internet to it, and give the title, the author, when it is, and give the link, and say, worth reading. And I've been doing this on the Diocese of Salisbury site website for some time, so I'm used to passing on short pieces of information for articles that are worth reading.
Now, it isn't unknown, sorry to interrupt, but it's not unknown for people to disagree with bishops. I mean, can people come back at you in this
way and say... That's part of the fun. So I'm not just on send, I'm also engaging with people. I heard a good joke, why do anarchists only drink herbal tea? And the answer is because they reckon property is theft. So I did that, and then an anarchist came back to me and said, no, that's the communists who believe that property is theft. And I Googled property is theft, and it came up as a French anarchist coining the phrase. So I went back and said, here it is. He said, well, words are what we call ourselves isn't important, it's actions. So I then went back and said, well, when the words and action combine, as in word became flesh and dwelt among us, then it really works. Then he said, I'm not arguing theology with a bishop. But then 2 days later, he said, I'm quite interested in theology. Do you know a good short introduction? So I sent him David Ford's, a very short introduction, to theology, the link to it. And literally 5 minutes later, he said, I've got it on my Kindle.
So an amazing step forward. Bishop, we're rapidly running out of time, but there is one other issue I do want to talk to you about whilst we've got you there, and that is a couple of days ago, the Church of England released its provisional attendance figures for the year 2010. And in summary, what this shows is that the number of marriages and baptisms in churches went up, but the number of funerals went down, and the weekly attendance went down as well. What do you think these figures tell us about people's changing patterns of worship?
I think there's an emphasis in the Church of England today on children and young families, and that's beginning to show that. Interestingly, some people think it's full of old people, but that's not the case. There's a lot of vibrant churches. I'm leading Alpha at St. Aldhelm's Church in Branksome at the moment, 10 Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. And there's lots of young people there, as well as a range of things. I talk an Alpha without a clerical shirt, and so the first evening nobody knew who I was when I sat down for lunch for dinner, and I said to this guy, how did you hear about it? He said, well, I came out of the gym at 6:30 this evening, got a text from a friend, and here I am at 7 o'clock. So people are using electronic communication to help people explore Christianity. I think that's very good.
Does it worry you, though, that the number of people regularly going to church is still going down?
Yes, it does. And there's a huge national effort to go for growth. Within the Diocese of Salisbury, we are going for growth in numbers and in depth. And I long for people to hear what the Christian message is really about. The interesting thing, a lot of people are going fortnightly now rather than going weekly, and so that affects the figures as well.
Bishop Graham, thank you very, very much indeed. It's been a long haul for you this morning, but thank you very, very much indeed, and enjoy the rest of your Alpha course.
Thanks very much.